Hello, welcome back. This is episode 8 of the 10-part Goose podcast series. I'm getting used to running my mouth and actually saying that. And with me today is Alex, and because it's Valentine's week, we're talking sex tech. I'm actually joking, we're talking gaming, all things VR, because there's been an awful lot of movement this year. And just to kick it straight off, Alex, you were telling me about this mad announcement from Xbox, or the how do we want to phrase that?
Yeah, it's probably the least mad announcement any gaming company has ever really made, and it amounts to, yeah, we're still going to make games. So up until last week, there were rumors circulating that Game Pass was going to be moved onto every platform, whether that's PS5, Switch, Steam Deck, whatever other handheld PC platforms there are now. ROG has one, I think. And that Microsoft were going to basically kill off the Xbox console after this generation. There was going to be no Xbox, whatever the hell they're going to call the next one. Who knows with them? But Phil Spencer went on the Xbox podcast yesterday, which is a weird place to do an announcement like this, I think.
Yeah.
And he basically said, no, we're still committed to the Xbox hardware. The Xbox console is the only place you can get the curated Xbox experience that we would like you to have and that we are proud of. Always got to reiterate how proud you are of the experience you build for your players.
Yeah, of course.
But he did say that Game Pass has kind of reached a saturation point on both PC and Xbox. They're not really selling that many more subscriptions anymore. So they're going to look at bringing their own proprietary games. Of course, they bought Bethesda and ActiBliz quite recently. So they're going to be bringing 4 games initially to other consoles, Red, PS5.
Yeah.
So we don't know what those games are for sure. So we know 2 of them are going to be single player experiences and 2 are going to be live services. Almost definitely it's going to be Hi-Fi Rush, which was the sleeper hit of last year. It's one of the best games I've played in the last 10 years. It's fantastic. Highly recommend it. Probably Sea of Thieves, because that's their biggest kind of live service game at the moment, outside maybe Halo. And let's be honest, they're never going to put Halo on anything that isn't an Xbox or PC.
Which is a shame.
It is, yeah. Because
the only reason that I would probably buy an Xbox, or if they were to bring out like, what was it? Gears of War. That was the other one. They're the only 2 games I've ever played on an Xbox. I have been PlayStation or my trusty Switch the whole way through.
Yeah, well, that's the other big rumor that's been floating around, is that there's going to be, I don't know what they're going to call it, maybe to have parity with the Master Chief Collection that came out a few years ago, the Marcus Fenix Collection. So they're going to be taking, in theory, this is all rumor, I'm just jumping on the speculation bandwagon here, it's going to be all 5 Gears of War games before they bring out Gears of War 6. There's no point in saying anything about this until the summer when they have their big...
Sure. But like, they've been massively outsold by pretty much every other console for a long time. What was it you were saying? Like 2-1 for a PlayStation?
2-1 for the PS5 to the Xbox Series, which is huge. I think it was even more for the previous generations, PS4 to Xbox One, because when they were initially marketing the Xbox One, they famously, I can't remember his name now, but the head of Xbox at the time, who Phil Spencer replaced, basically turned around at E3, the event to sell people on your brand new shiny console, and said, yeah, we want the Xbox to be online all the time. If you don't want that, we have a console for you. It's called the Xbox 360. Basically looking people dead in the face around the world and saying, don't buy our new console.
That's a massive round of applause for
John. Massive L on that one. So since then, Xbox have really been on the back foot in terms of hardware. And that's why we've seen them in recent years trying to ramp up, you know, their acquisition of game studios, because their first party games even they haven't really been there. They've had Forza, Gears of War, and Halo, and that's pretty much it.
That's it. And like, Force is pretty good, but it's not like 3 titles is not enough to buy a whole console. Although I'm saying this as if PlayStation have actually brought out anything dedicated properly for the PS5, which, you know, COVID kind of.
We've had Ratchet and Clank, Gran Turismo, Spider-Man,
fucking excellent, by the
way. Spider-Man is class. Go read our article on Spider-Man 2. It's up there. We'll put it in the notes.
It's there. And honest to God, I'm not even going to lie, right? So that was one of those ones. I was looking at the price of it, right? £80 for a game. The way games have gone, and I'm very much probably the opposite end of the spectrum too. I do so many goddamn things that I do. My version of gaming is like hour before bed, or if the lads are on the headset and it's that toxic chat between the lads, which is always great crack. And I'll just play something like, at the moment I'm playing South Park, the Fractured Butthole?
Fractured Butthole.
Yeah, like that's, you know, I am very much flatline, simple, I don't want to think. And like £80 for a game is just like, I read the article and went, do you know what? I've played the other ones. I'm just going to have to dive in. And under no circumstances did I regret it. I have, it's one of like probably the three games I've platinumed.
Same. Yep. I went into it knowing I love the other two. I platinumed the other two. I'm going to platinum this one. And it was maybe, apart from like Ratchet and Clank, my fastest plat. It was so good. I loved every second of it. No regrets.
Yeah, I don't think there's such a thing as console wars anymore. I remember like a few years ago, myself and Martin did this like kind of combo article, console wars, because he was Xbox, I was PlayStation. And like PlayStation and Nintendo, PlayStation for me are the market leaders. Like their new handheld is going to be pretty cool. It's like they're talking about like remaking like a PSP. I know they have like the portable at the moment, but the PlayStation has to be on. Whereas what they're talking about now is this like essentially like a modernization of the old PSP, which considering it's Sony and considering that they like to keep things at a certain price point, you know, it's not going to be a major barrier to entry. You expect about £300-400, and it's going to be like a PlayStation in your pocket.
Yeah.
So
that's going to be very cool.
Yeah, I'm going to enjoy that.
Yeah.
That might be the one now that gets me, because the poor Switch, since the last put, and this is where I'm going to transition across to the main body of chat, because since the last Pokemon game came out, I have not used my Switch that much. And it brings me nicely on to the major elephant in the room when it comes
Pokemon with guns.
There we go. That one. Palworld. You've been playing this.
I've played a couple of hours of it. And hot take, I'm not impressed. I'm really, really underwhelmed. Now,
really?
I'm gonna preface that. Can you preface something after you've said the initial thing? I don't know.
You can say whatever the hell you want.
I'm gonna temper that by saying I am a cynical 30-something year old. I grew up in a very different era of gaming, and I did have a second point, but I can't remember what it was.
Look, like the thing is, right? This is how much of a nerd I am. I have three Pokemon tattooed on my leg. I've got the three original starters, because there was only three original starters. Pikachu does not count, and it's in the original old school Game Boy artwork of that kind of dirty black and white lines. So like this game, I thought straight away, it's like, okay, kind of like open world Pokemon type vibe. And then within 24, 48 hours, I'm seeing articles going, 25% of users have already dropped off. 50% of users have dropped off. It's glitching. It's already mod community. Where games like this are kind of cool is like you get all like the kind of, you know, the makers, the modders and stuff like that'll do some mad shit. Mm-hmm. But for, I guess, maybe it's our age demographic. I want something to do.
Yeah, so I actually did remember my other point. This is still such an early build of the game. What we're playing right now and what you're seeing right now is nowhere near the finished product. So I don't, like, Total Biscuit, RIP, said, if you're charging money for a game, it's in a review state. We should be able to critically assess how good or bad the game is based on its own merit if you're charging money. And they are charging money. It's $30, or it's on Game Pass if you have Xbox Game Pass, which is great. That's how I played it.
We came full circle there nicely, didn't we? Mm.
It's like poetry. It rhymes.
I'm telling you, it's almost if we planned this, which we didn't, we don't. We really just fly by the seat of the pants here. It's like, right,
unscripted, unfiltered.
Let's go and see what happens.
But like, now, to be fair, the blurb on the download page is very upfront. It actually says, if you're not comfortable paying for a game that's not finished, don't.
Okay.
Really, really clear, straight up, which is a nice refreshing change from other, say, AAA companies like your Ubisofts or, you know, your EAs, which is basically, yeah, the game's finished, give us your money.
And it never is.
Clearly not.
Yeah. No, this is like, you're actually after tipping onto probably my biggest bugbearer with the gaming industry at the moment. It's like, how to put it nice. I don't actually think I could put it nicely. It's like, fuck you, you dirty little gremlins. Here is a game that's 70% finished, and you're going to have to download a giant patch in a couple of weeks when we realize that what we made is crock. You're on bitching about it, and then we'll go and fix it because we decided never to ask you in the first place. So we'll just wait and see what you find is broken, and then we'll fix that.
Well, that's why there was such a huge discourse around Baldur's Gate 3 a few months ago, because it shipped feature complete. Nothing was added to the game. Okay, there were some balancing patches and some glitches kind of got sorted out, but that's going to happen with everything. Yeah. But feature complete, no extra content. There's the whole game. Do what you want.
Yeah. And Baldur's Gate basically swept up at the Game Awards this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I'm delighted because there's an Irish production house involved in the build of that. Surprised that Spider-Man, for example, didn't actually get anything.
I think when you look, last year was such a strong year for games.
It was a very strong year for games.
I'm not surprised Spider-Man didn't really get much. You know, I don't think there was a single category where it wasn't outclassed.
I actually don't disagree with that, but I kind of assume, judging just by the title and stuff, that they'd have slipped in for something. But Baldur's Gate, anybody I know who has played it has had nothing but rave reviews. I have been meaning to, but I know how big it is, and I'm like, I don't have the time.
Yeah, I'm not ready to commit that amount of my life to one thing right now.
Yeah. No, it's very much this. So, like, what we're saying on Polyworld right now, graphically,
fine.
Yeah. Out of 10.
Well, it's a cel shaded game, so it's very difficult to mark it down for anything. It doesn't do anything wrong, but it doesn't really blow me away. So call it like a 7, 8, 7, 8.
Maybe we look at this in a few weeks' time when they actually finish it.
Yeah, weeks is optimistic.
Okay, some months.
The last thing I'll say about it really is, unless we want to continue, but the phrase that's been floating around, I said it earlier, is Pokemon with guns. It's very much not that.
Okay. That's like how it's being sold to the internet.
Yeah. So there are the pals, which you go out and you catch in pal balls, very specifically not Pokeballs, pal balls, TM. So you go around, catch them, blah, 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 blah. There is a main quest, not fleshed out at all.
Of course.
Still very early alpha build, but it's more a generic survival crafting game with Pokemon, not Pokemon with. They're not the focus.
Okay.
Which is really where it kind of fell down a lot, I think, for a lot of people, is expecting a Pokemon-style game when it's really more like an Ark or a Valheim or something, just has Pokemon mechanics.
Okay. I think I'm going to give this one a pass.
Don't blame you.
Yeah, I was excited, but the more you talk about it, fine. Screw you. You're after ruining my buzz.
Nah. Look, if we were having this conversation in 12 months when it's a completely different game, I could have a completely different review of it.
Do you know what? Normally, when a game like this is like this, that's where it's at. So, do you know what? 30 quid if people want to go have a poke around, nose around, work away.
Yep. Like I said, it's on Game Pass. So, for a lot of people, if you have Xbox Game Pass, it costs you nothing extra to play it. Give it a go. See if you like it.
Fair. Now, speaking of a game that's very much not finished that we have waited forever for. I mean, I think anybody who's listened to this before I even say it, they're going to know exactly where I'm going, because it's probably the YouTube trailer is the most watched video ever on YouTube. It's GTA 6.
Yes.
I cannot wait. This is the one.
Here's another hot take that might ruin your buzz. I'm not that excited.
What?
Yeah,
Really?
I fully realize this is a me thing. I am the outlier here. I am the weirdo. I just don't like Rockstar games in general.
What?
I can't get into them. It's something about the movement mechanics, the shooting mechanics just don't really line up for me. So on a very fundamental level, I can't enjoy playing the game.
I have played GTA since, and this shows my age. I remember being in school playing top-down GTA.
I was just about to ask, was it the top-down pixelated
one? It was the top-down steal a taxi, find the phone box.
Actually set in the UK.
Yeah. Mm. What a game, by the way. Yeah. And like, I love GTA because it's just...
Marty.
Well, hello, Martin. Just joined for a few minutes before heading out to be utterly shocked by Alex. Mm. Would you look at that? Hello, we'll give him a little... wave from the other side of the internet. Yeah, anyway, what I was saying,
leader.
I love Rockstar games. Red Dead Redemption is one of my favorite games, but GTA has always been up there. And it's a title, like the latest one has done, what, the PS3, 4, and now 5, still top of the game selling charts across three consoles.
It's been over 10 years since it came out, and it's the highest grossing media release of all time.
Yeah,
nothing has come close.
So what's wrong with you that you don't like it? You're the problem.
The characters move like they have turtles with roller skates strapped to their feet.
That is literally the point. And like, the trailer's brilliant.
Oh, the trailer is hilarious.
The trailer is absolutely hilarious. And if now that Martin's swinging there in the background of the internet, go check out his TikTok page. He has gone and shown some like Easter eggs in the poster and trailers and stuff like that. And it's really, really funny. You've got it's typical GTA of just some very freaky stuff just hanging around.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Florida Man thing?
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's all so good.
For anybody who doesn't know, there's this guy who... I was going to say looks like Post Malone on drugs, but like that is Post Malone. this fella looks like he's just, you know, passed out someday and his mates had a tattoo gun rather than crayons and drew all over him. And one of the characters is this like heavily tattooed kind of skeleton man. And this typical Florida person goes, well, I'm the Florida Joker and you've based it on me, so I want a 10 mil payout. No, typical Florida man. No, not happening. Go away. And then he came back recently because he tried to take him to court and it was obviously not happening. So have you seen the most recent one where he was like, I don't need the 10 mil. I'll tell you what. Can I just voice that character in the game and I'll do it for like 100 grand? Because as far as he's concerned, he's the reason why this trailer was so big that everybody in Florida knows him as the Florida Joker.
Mm. Insane. Unhinged. If you ever want to play a really fun game, Google your birthday and Florida Man.
Let's
Florida Man did something on all of our birthdays. Because for anyone who doesn't know, Florida just it's an unhinged fairy tale land that gave us Donald Trump, Disneyland, and that's about it.
Let me see what I get for Florida Man. I know this is a weird tangent. I'm not going to say anything. What have we got? Huh. There's 19 fun facts. So I'm just going to name out one.
Okay.
Let's see what we got. No, it's just... No, do you know what? I'm going to come back to this because it's giving me weird stuff like here's the name of a dog.
Oh, no.
I couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
But no... Oh, like as I said, I'm very, very much excited to see GTA 6 come out. Like, I know GTA 5 has been one of the favorites, but for me, it's always going to be San Andreas.
Yeah,
For me the peak of PlayStation games.
It was great. It was I don't enjoy playing Grand Theft Auto, but I enjoy everything else about it. You know, the idea of sitting around with your mates trying to get that 5-star rating and just hijacking the tank that inevitably spawns in and just wrecking havoc in Vice City. I live for that. It's so
and it has some of the most iconic lines. Zone. It had some of the most iconic lines that games ever had. I mean, it's like, oh shit, here we go again. Or follow the damn train, CJ.
Follow the damn train, CJ.
That mission was so hard. I must have played that thing 100 times before it actually. Vice City. Yes, we're starting to get a bit of comments here on
everybody Wang Chung tonight.
YouTube, the Vice City, yes, and just as you said, it's that thing of multiplayer mode, shoot, all of the things, all the cheats that are not cheats. Why a bunny rabbit.
Like, was it Grand Theft Auto 4 where once you put in a cheat, it was just saved in your phone, so you didn't even have to go to the hassle of typing in all those buttons. You just just go to your phone and put in the...
I think that's the thing that for people like me in our age group, because there hasn't been a GTA title since essentially we were in college nearly at this stage, that it's this like very visceral thing of having that notepad with all L1, R1, triangle, left, right, up, down, 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 boom, 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 and having that piece of paper slipped into the back of the actual box and pulling it out and boom, 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 to get your cheats and being able to just wreak havoc from there.
Yeah, but yeah, fantastic. Love it.
You have a couple of titles that you think are going to be the you know, the ones to watch this year. So I'm just going to preface this first, right? Alex is like the gaming guy in terms of Ghost. We would classify him as the gaming specialist. So if he's going to say these are my top titles for this year, take note.
Now, I'm going to preface this by saying these are very much my top titles.
No, we don't like
definitely won't appeal to anyone. There's one on this list that is very specialist.
Okay.
But coming straight up, yes, Chris, GTA 4 is overlooked. GTA 4 has the best story for
Sorry, I'm just getting interrupted by the YouTube comments. We have Chris after coming in here. GTA 4 is overlooked. The online was just guys being dudes. No sharp cards, no properties, or no characters. So the obvious
cousin, let's go bowling. Like iconic.
Yeah, it's none of this. Like I know, like, I get the GTA Online 5. It's very much, you know, build a business, do all the criminal activities. This is like I love that GTA 4 thing. It's like just go do some carnage. Go do some carnage. Anyway, sorry for interrupting.
Yeah,
have at.
No problem.
Have at, my guy.
So next, pretty much the next game that's coming out is Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Mm. Now this is, again, I think for me, everything that's coming out this year that I'm excited about is either a sequel, a remake, or a sequel to a remake. And this is very much that third category. So this is the sequel to Final Fantasy VII Remake.
It's the mental gymnastics to follow that thread.
Yeah. So anyway,
so Rebirth.
For anyone under the age of 30, Final Fantasy VII was the RPG back in the day. Mm. It was one of the biggest selling games on the original PlayStation. It was so big that PlayStation actually tried to make their own game to compete with it,
really?
Even though it was an exclusive game. But it's beloved. It has some of the most famous moments of all of video game history in it. And a few years ago, Square Enix announced they were going to be remaking it for PS4. It came out 2018, I think it was. And it was fantastic. It was phenomenal. It stayed so true to the original in terms of the feel and the vibe. The characters are brilliant. Cloud Strife is still a moody teenager wannabe. And it actually changed the story, and people weren't really upset about it, which is fantastic. But the original Final Fantasy came on 3 discs for the PlayStation, so this is probably going to be 3 separate games.
Okay.
The original basically got you up to the first half of the first disc, and they said at the end, we're going to have to wait for more powerful hardware to make a bigger game so we can fit it all into 3 games, because they're trying to be so ambitious with it. It looks stunning. I've always said, if you want to see what you can get out of a console, put the latest Final Fantasy on it, because they always look phenomenal.
Okay. I'm actually going to let you in on one of these little secrets. I've never played a Final Fantasy game.
You've never played a Final Fantasy game?
I've never played any.
Oh, John.
I know. It's like someone saying, I've never watched Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter.
That's wild.
I judge me too. Don't worry. The not so silent judgment.
Weirdly, I don't think you're in the minority on that one. I think most people haven't played. Yeah.
Okay. So definitely one for people like me. Go just do it. Trust me.
Yeah. Okay. I think Final Fantasy VII Remake is on PS Plus, whatever. So it's on it. Download it. Give it a go. Play it. If you like it, stay tuned. February 29th, Leap Day. That's when it's coming out. I'll definitely be putting a review out on it because I cannot wait.
Cool. What other titles? I know that's one. Give me your top three.
Another one,
because we're starting to get some comments about the VR kits, and I know we want to talk.
Okay. So my next one, I don't actually know when this is coming out because they haven't announced a release date. This is Nintendo, so who knows? They could just shadow drop it whenever they feel like it. They will not be saving it for the new console. I'll put any amount of money on that because it is Paper Mario, the Thousand Year Door remake.
Okay.
The original came out in 2004, so we're looking at 20 years. It came out in the GameCube originally. Again, it's a, I know.
When you
I
say know. 2004 and 20 years ago, that yeah. just hits mm-hmm. a part of my soul. That,
oh, yeah.
2004, that was the Wayne Rooney Euros. Anyway, continue.
Yep. So Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, sequel to the original Paper Mario, which came out on the N64, widely regarded as one of the best JRPGs ever made. Similar to Final Fantasy, actually, you're probably noticing a theme here. Mm. Fantastic characters, brilliant game mechanics. It actually weirdly fleshed out the Mario world, because if I was to describe a Mario game as Bowser has kidnapped the princess and Mario has to go save her, that could be literally any Mario game.
I mean,
whereas this,
yeah, you
this really follows the footsteps of.
For you, I was sitting here listening to Peaches.
Yeah, so, yeah. There you go.
Mario. Yeah. I thought it was going to be Princess Peach Showtime is where you're going to go.
No, so I really suspect that's going to be the last new Nintendo game we get until the new console.
Right.
They haven't announced anything else new. It's going to be remakes, remasters, or stuff's going to go up under the virtual console thing they have, and that'll be it. And then they're going to release something in maybe September.
Right.
When it comes
give out. Me your third and final one to watch. And by the way, you're this totally is my going specialist to have to throw one. This up as an article over the weekend.
Oh, 100%. This is my specialist one. It's one that I've been waiting 2 years now at this stage for, and that is Warhammer 40,000 Space Marine 2.
Yeah, it's quite specialist.
It's very specialist. Oh my God, I am so excited. I cannot put into words how excited I am for this game. The first one came out, I think, in like 2007, no, 2009, maybe. And as someone who loved Warhammer growing up and recently rediscovered it as an adult, it nailed the setting. It nailed the feeling of being a Space Marine. You know, the developers were asked, you know, this is a third person shooter. Is it going to be happy? Yes, Chris, purge the heretic. Suffer not the Xenos to live. What are you going to do about cover? Because it's a third-person shooter. Cover is going to be involved somehow. And the developers basically said, Space Marines don't need cover. Space Marines are the cover.
Okay.
And you just... Again, they wanted to wait until they could get powerful enough hardware to have an enemy that really feels good getting into with a chainsword. So they're using... I can't remember the name of the engine they're using now. But it's... basically giving them the opportunity to have up to 1,000 enemies on screen at any one time. And when you're a tank on legs with a sword that is a chainsaw and a gun that fires rocket-propelled grenades...
I'm not going to lie, that kind of does sound fun.
Yeah. It's the one universe where the rule is, what's the most badass thing that can happen right now? And that happens.
Okay.
It's every 10-year-old boy's fantasy just... crammed into space. It's great.
Yeah. Do you know what? I know you're saying it's a specialist game. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's because of how excited you're getting about it that I'm like, I think this is one now I think I might go. I might have to give a go of. Because my one to watch this year, maybe I'm just so transparent. It's Football Manager 25. That's the one that's standing out for me, because Football Manager have already came out and said that the 2024 variation of the game, the current one, is the last of its type. That there's going to be a full body reskin for next year, and the women's game is going to be included out of the box and stuff like that. So at the moment, you can't actually manage the women's teams. At the moment, the game engine has been the same game engine for the last 2 or 3 years, and the interface has been kind of a much as with like minor tweaks and kind of in terms of how you interact with your players and stuff like this. they haven't actually said anything about what they're doing other than the women's game is going to be in it, and that it that the current game is the last of the current cycle, and that what comes next is going to be something that we've never seen before in this space. So I'm kind of I like that's the game where this is the first year in 20 years, actually maybe longer, that I haven't purchased it on the release day. I still have it, but it's the first. Yeah. It's the first time in probably since it was Championship Manager, and I still have Championship Manager boxes down at my mother's house that I haven't bought it. Do you know what, Tony? Lego games are phenomenal on any console. I have just finished Lego Undercover because, you know, on the PlayStation you have your premium pass and all that jazz. So yep. I have played all three of the Batman Lego games. I've played
excellent
the Lego Undercover, and I'm basically cycling through all of the Lego titles and South Park titles at the moment, because that is my variance of gaming. That when the lads are playing Call of Duty and screaming bloody toxic nonsense at each other, I'm sitting there going, so I'm building a car. Do you know what I mean?
If you want a Lego game where you can build a car, boy, do I have the game for you. So 2K, who usually make kind of basketball games.
Completed it, mate.
Lego 2K Racer. What a game. So
absolutely fantastic.
As it's a modern game, it's fully laden with microtransactions where you can just buy a car or buy a racer or buy whatever. Or if you have the time, make it yourself. Make whatever you want as a car. But they put out the Creators Club a couple of months ago where people can upload the cars that they have made and you can download them for free.
Okay.
So I have the Ghost from Halo. I have the Homer from The Simpsons.
Nice.
I have three hot dogs. I have an off-road hot dog, an on-road hot dog, and a water hot dog. I have the Reptar Mobile from Rugrats. Anything you want.
Okay, I'm in. Yeah, I'm sold.
Yep.
No.
Yep. We originally bought it to play with us as mates or whatever, and we did, but I couldn't tell you how many hours I've put into it. I just love it so much.
We have another comment in here saying Space Marine 2 better be on your list, Alex.
Yeah, I think Sean is a little bit behind, but don't worry. It is.
Okay, so that, yeah, that would have been title 4 or 5. So now on to, like, I think that those are your ones to watch. Me and you have very different opinions when it comes to VR.
I think so, yeah.
You have your PSVR too.
Love it. Yeah. I love it.
I am very much on the... And I know I'm wrong. I know I'm wrong in this, but it's just, for me, it's still gimmick, gimmick, gimmick. I'll use it once. I'll leave it on the shelf, and then I might show it off to the lads when they come over. But I know the technology has got a lot better since the last time I actually got VR headset. In the market right now, you have the PSVR 2, you've got the Meta Quest 3, which is getting an awful lot of love, and I think that is the industry standard. And then you've also got the Apple Vision Pro, which you might want to take out a mortgage or sell your firstborn child to Satan, or I suppose...
At least a kidney.
At least a kidney.
Yeah. $3,500.
$3,500
for anyone who's
it's typical. Yeah. It's typical Apple. All right. So, like, Tony,
you could buy 6 PSVRs for that.
This is it. So Tony came in there,
or 5 at a PS4.
Tony came in there a few minutes ago and said, "This is the part of the VR part I didn't actually maybe understand or reference to myself, that it works with all his work apps like Google Workday." So instead of having probably what I have in front of me, which is like the multi-screen war room type vibe, he's got VR and a keyboard and does all his work that way for peace and quiet and focus. I love that. Like, what am I missing here?
Yeah, I think that is something that really, when VR kind of first hit even the mainstream, when it kind of made a resurgence after the 1990s, it was very much, you know, the HTC Vive and the Oculus,
which I have.
It was very, very dedicated to gaming, you know, fully integrated with Steam and everything. And everyone kind of assumed that VR was just going to be a gaming thing. And then Oculus kind of transitioned into gaming and then Meta bought them out. And we've only kind of seen that extra bit that was tacked on to the game and kind of grow and grow and grow, whereas now that's the thing that it is really marketed as. You don't really see a lot of people buying the MetaQuest for gaming. You know, there are a lot of games on it. You know, there's a Resident Evil on it, there's a Doom on it, there's a very ill-fated Assassin's Creed on it. But most people aren't engaging with that. They're engaging more with the workflow and the, you know, utility side of it, or even for watching movies and stuff like that. And I think that's where the Apple one is going to kind of fall down, because for Meta, collaboration coming from Meta kind of makes sense that it would, is really at the center. You know, you can talk to other people in on a MetaQuest, that you can have virtual meetings, you can do all that kind of stuff. Whereas with the Apple Pro, you're really just on your own.
Yeah,
you know,
I get that. Yeah, and it's the, as you said, it's those new kind of pass through features and stuff like that, where you're not completely isolated. Because I suppose, like, you always see these videos on Instagram, you know, of people in the VR headsets and they're like, clean out their kit, or they end up going through the TV, or, you know, the obvious teenage boy and what's the movie he's watching. You know, we know the crack, like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, for me, I suppose it's been that price versus function kind of piece. You know, like, and to be fair, I'm actually looking at it here. The MetaQuest 3 is not unreasonable at $550.
No, it's very reasonable.
That much, like, integration.
Yeah. Yeah, like, when you look at the PSVR 2, you know, the use case for that is very simple, very straightforward. It's just for gaming, you know, and I love it for that. So many games that have come out of it have just been everything I've ever wanted. You know, No Man's Sky is fantastic in VR. Resident Evil 8 is terrifying in VR.
Wow.
You know, when you're first walking to the village, there's a crow that caws in a tree. And if you're sitting on your sofa playing, it's nothing. It's just flavor. But when you're in VR and it's dark all around you, and you hear a crow, and you know there's something scary up in front of you, that's terrifying. I've never been more scared in my life.
This reminds me of an event that myself and Martin went to. Jeez, it must be 6 years ago, right? And there was this developer. They did, like, these kind of interactive movie type things. It was in German. And you're just hearing, and all this kind of, like, really, and then you turn and it's the child, because it's always a child.
Yeah, it's always a child.
It's always a child. But then it runs, it scampers away. And then you have to go find the child, and then demon pops out. And I was just having an absolute panic attack. And there must have been 10,000 people walking around this event floor, and you just have me going, like I'm a 4-year-old child screaming the place down. Go, ah! Maybe I was scared. Maybe that's what caused my fear of VR.
But then maybe Resident Evil 4 is probably more your flavor, which is just cheesy B movie horror, and you get to be the one who says, "Where's everybody going?" Bingo, and it's great. You love it.
I'm in for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How much is that? Because like the controllers are beautiful. The actual
so cool. Yeah. So the PSVR 2 is €550, which actually makes it more expensive than the console itself.
That's insanity.
Mm.
Worth it, though?
Totally.
Just...
I haven't regretted it a day in my life.
Didn't even miss a beat. Yeah, nope. Absolutely. Buy it.
Yep. Yep. It's great. It takes a lot of getting used to, I will say, because gaming in VR is very different to gaming on the couch.
Where would you rank it versus the MetaQuest 3? Two very different machines.
You know, the PSVR 2 is far more powerful, far higher graphical fidelity. It can do a lot more, but it's not wireless.
Yeah.
So you are tethered to your PS5, but you're going to be anyway. The cable is long enough that I've never felt it really affecting me at all.
Sure.
You know, I think the MetaQuest is great for the day-to-day kind of general computing kind of stuff. If the MetaQuest is a general computer, PSVR 2 is an actual PC, and then the Apple Vision Pro is just a Mac. It's just the MetaQuest, but more expensive.
I'm not getting, but like, okay, so right, this laptop is on its on its final wavelength, right? I have nursed this thing through just the depths of hell, and I was like, right, will I buy the Mac? Will I buy the Mac? And then it's like, right, if you buy the Mac, you fall into their ecosystem. Mm. There's never a day in hell that I'm going to buy the Apple Vision Pro at that kind of price. Again, it's Apple, so they look gorgeous. But
it's stunning. And the actual tech in it is fantastic.
It is. But I've seen already, I don't know what it is about America. I'm sure we've all seen the videos, the fellow walking up the road wearing it and pretending he's, you know, discount Tony Stark. Yeah, we don't need to say the word, but my God. But they are gorgeous.
Yeah, it is a very nice piece of kit, but very heavy.
Yeah?
Very heavy. If you have, I think it's about 700 grams. So if you have that on your noggin, you're really going to feel it.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, I think I'm leaning towards the MetaQuest 3. I can totally see myself chilling out, you know, wandering about the house doing my bits while also doing my job. There's something about that vibe that is just like, yeah, for 550 quid. I didn't know it had all that capacity, which I should, considering, you know, this.
Yeah.
My God. Apple Vision Pro, no. MetaQuest 3, yes. PlayStation, if you are very much into gaming and you want that immersive experience, is that kind of how we're looking at it?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Like, if you look at gameplay from, like, Horizon Call of the Mountain or, you know, Resident Evil VR on the PSVR 2 and compare it to the Assassin's Creed game that came out for the MetaQuest, you know, you'll see pretty much immediately that there is a massive difference in processing power for the two machines, because with the MetaQuest, all you're relying on is the headset. But with the PSVR 2, of course, you get the bonus of having the PS5 doing nearly all the heavy lifting. So you're getting PS5 quality graphics on two 2K screens right up in front of your eye.
Yeah.
Like, I played Call of the Mountain, the Horizon game, and Aloy was there, and it looked like she was a real person in front of me, you know.
Okay, yeah, no, I can dance with that. Like, I've seen some other like variances. Like, is it HP that have one? Lenovo have one. I'm not having that yet. I think their technology still very much looks like the HTC Vive. Just
And it's still very much a niche enthusiast.
But what I will say about
the HTC, it's not mainstream at all. Yeah.
What I will say about the HTC is that HTC M8 is still my favorite phone of all time.
Oh yeah,
still my favorite phone of all time. I remember, like, we were working in the phone shops and stuff, like when these all started, and first contract phone, the phone that made me jump from pay as you go to the big boy, get a contract, get a good phone, was the HTC One M8. And naturally then bought everything else from HTC until, you know,
they went kaput.
Until they went kaput.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think I have any other questions. So is there any, before we jump off of this, questions from the viewers, if there's anything left? I think we've covered everything there. Alex, is there any wild card games that you're going to suggest?
Wildcard game. We know there's nothing coming from Sony.
Yes.
They have said as much. There might be something new. We'll have to wait until the summer when they're not E3 comes out, because E3 is officially finished. Yes. Gone forever.
Of course.
RIP, pour one out for a real one. I think the new Nintendo console is going to launch with a follow-up to Mario Odyssey. That's my wild card. In the meantime, I think we'll get Pikmin 4 DLC. we'll probably get Spider-Man 2 DLC. Let's be real here. They made a ton of money from it. They're putting out an update in a couple of weeks.
I will totally play that DLC.
Yeah, I'm gonna play the shit out of it.
And I swear to God, like, it took me about 3 years to buy the Switch. If they come out with a new Pokemon, like, so Arceus, I loved it. Broke, like, mechanics that needed to be worked on. But love that concept. Absolutely adore that concept. If they bring out a version of that, like an update, because I know they went back to their traditional style in the next round of games, but I want another Arceus round two, and I will buy that console on opening day.
Immediately. That game, that is the best Pokemon game I've played in about 10 years.
Yeah, I love the concept. And I will go again.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely. So what was the three games that we said? And we'll just... You're going to throw an article about this out over the weekend. Alex's Goosed Podcast Picks.
So Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Which I promise.
Coming out on Leap Day. Paper Mario 1000 Year Door Remake. No idea when it's coming out.
Okay.
Probably sometime before September. And Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2. Just watch the trailer.
Okay.
And you'll fall in love. It's going to be so, so good.
Color me impressed. All right. And that note, if anybody actually wants to read the content, which you should, goose.ie. If we are on social media, everywhere. Goose_ie. If there's a social platform, we are on it. If it's TikTok, you're looking for you're looking for Martin of Goose. If it's on Twitter, we're not there anymore because fuck that guy. On Instagram, on Threads, we are goose_e, and pretty much anywhere other than the artist formerly known as Twitter. So on that note, Alex, it's been lovely to have you again today.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, good night, good morning, good luck, and we will catch you all next week where I have two awesome guests, an NFL Kicker Academy student and the founder of QB, which is a neurodiversity... it's like one of the, what's the word, the boxes, tune in and you'll actually figure out what they're going to talk, what they're going to talk about. So on that note, peace out. I'll see you all next week.
Bye.
Bye.